We know there are times where you're just too busy to sort through the mass of information that comes your way. So to make it easier for you to stay informed, subscribe to The Morning Agenda, WITF's news podcast, where the only agenda is you.
Funding for The Spark is provided by Capital Blue Cross, focused on creating a healthier future for our communities through innovations like its Capital Blue Cross Connect Health and Wellness Centers, which provide in-person services and inspire healthy living. Learn more at capitalbluecross.com. The Spark is also supported by UPMC. Choose UPMC for your family's health care needs close to home. Visit upmc.com/centralPA for a complete list of services and locations.
Welcome back to The Spark. I'm your host, Asia Tabb. Many people are turning to diabetes medication to induce weight loss. We've heard from many celebrities like Oprah, Kelly Clarkson, Amy Schumer, Tracy Morgan, and many others that say they've tried Ozempic to induce their weight loss. Joining us is Dr. Soleimani, the Director of Obesity Medicine at Penn State Health. So glad to have you with us.
Thank you so much for having me, Asia.
And I have Dr. Holsterman, the Physician of Clinical Nutrition at Geisinger Health. How are you?
I'm great, Ed. Nice to see you or meet you.
Okay, thank you. So Dr. Soleimani, could you tell us, what is Ozempic?
Sure. So Ozempic is semaglutide, and semaglutide is a hormone that has almost 94% similarity with a hormone that naturally exists in our body. Semaglutide it's out there in two forms of medication. One is Ozempic, which is for management of type 2 diabetes. And then we have Wegovy, which is FDA approved for management of obesity.
Wow. And who should be prescribed this medication?
So the medication has to be prescribed by a provider. I do think that's important for patients to understand so they can properly be monitored. So if the patient has type 2 diabetes, so their hemoglobin A1C has to be at a particular number, then they would qualify to be on Ozempic. If they do not have type 2 diabetes, they should not be on Ozempic. However, if a patient does struggle with obesity, even though they do not have type 2 diabetes, they would qualify for Wegovy. And I would just put it out there, just because our patients would qualify for Wegovy doesn't mean that their employer would necessarily cover the cost of the medication. And I think, unfortunately, we come across this many times when patients want to be on the medication, but they cannot access this due to high cost or lack of coverage.
Wow, and I think this is a question you both could cover for us. Why do we keep hearing about Ozempic? It seems like a new thing. Is it a new drug, or is it old, or are people just now learning about it for weight loss?
I think that it's really kind of revolutionary. It's very different than the other medications that we've used for weight loss in the past. And it's not, it's new to the market in terms of the grand scheme of a lot of our older medications, older generation medications that have been around, but it's really been around. Its first class was approved back in 2005. And so despite all of the hype that we've been hearing about it more so in the past few years, it's been around a long, you know, longer, you know, certainly before that.
Yeah, and I think it's because one of the things with semaglutide, which could be in the form of Ozempic or Wegovy, patients are seeing the weight loss results of it. So when we look at kind of the weight loss medications that we have had over the past decades, we can categorize them into a first generation and second generation. The first generation weight loss medication, on average, we could give our patient another additional 5 to 10% weight loss. When we look at Wegovy or Zepbound that are second generation anti-obesity medications or weight loss medication, we're seeing that individuals are achieving 15% weight loss, 20, 25% weight loss. So it's not uncommon to see it in a family member, in a coworker, and asking them, hey, what are you doing? How are you losing this weight? And of course, put social media on top of that and the celebrities talking about it. It certainly has set these medications on fire, and it seems like everyone is talking about it.
That's so true. How can Ozempic affect mental health as well?
So I don't think the data is really out yet completely on what is the effect of these second generation weight loss medication on kind of mood disorders, including depression and anxiety. Certainly individuals who struggle with overweight and obesity do struggle with that social isolation. They are could be at a higher risk of depression or suffering from anxiety. And when they begin to lose weight, it can improve their mood. That being said, there has been some small report on patients actually not doing well and potential suicidal ideation on the medication. So I would say really the jury is not fully out yet.
And Dr. Soleimani, I think I also saw that it truly doesn't work for everyone. Like you, I've read online, there's some patients who say, like, it worked for me, and there's some that it doesn't. Could that also go into maybe affecting your mental health as far as like depression, especially in the summertime when everyone's trying to look their best?
I completely agree with you. And I think it's important to understand that obesity is a disease. And not every individual who's struggling with obesity, not every type of obesity is the same. So that's why the response to any treatment is not going to be the same for every patient. It is not just with Wegovy or Ozempic, even with Qsymia, even with Phentermine, the other weight loss medications that we have had. We see that there is a heterogeneity of response to the treatment. One thing I want the listeners to understand is that if you are on Wegovy and you're not losing weight, or let's say your provider put you on Ozempic because you had type 2 diabetes and you were hoping to lose weight along with that and you didn't, that should not discourage you. There should be perhaps other medications to be considered, look to see what is going on from a lifestyle modification standpoint. I think this just really speaks to that not one therapy would work for all patients. Again, this is no different than, let's say, in individuals who struggle with breast cancer. The treatments that we have does not save every individual that struggle with their breast cancer either. So obesity is really no different.
Wow. And Dr. Holsterman, could you tell us what is the relationship between weight loss and nutrition?
Yeah, well, I think that speaks to the message Dr. Soleimani was putting out there, that the medications really should be prescribed by a provider, a medical provider. And so this type of medication, really along with other medications, we need to go through the risks, benefits, what medication might work for somebody versus another, and then really undergoing that continued ongoing care. And so with the use of Ozempic and really similar medications, the goal is to make sure that we're working on the optimal nutrition, working on lifestyle changes, working on activity and similar. And so when someone is following with a medical team, and potentially that includes a dietitian, the goal is to make sure that we're getting the right nutrients still. We're still working on the basics. This medication and others certainly help us get more credit, I say, for the effort that we're putting into those basics. But certainly it's really important to make sure that we're getting the right nutrients. We focus, a lot on getting, higher leaner proteins, lowering our processed carbohydrates. And in particular, with this medication, we worry about, or we, certainly monitor for some of the muscle mass. It's natural to lose some muscle mass when you're losing some of your weight. For instance, we certainly have patients that lose 30, 40, 50 pounds. They're now carrying around 30, 40, 50 pounds less of them. They don't need as much muscle mass for the everyday walking around, walking to the car, doing our laundry, our housework and such. So it's natural for that to happen. And so as that happens, we make sure that patients are certainly getting their protein in, they're getting that balanced nutrition. So it's really important to make sure that we're, patients are being followed, listeners are really touching base with their medical team regularly to make sure that they're really at their optimal state for optimal, weight loss, but optimal, health. The goal is to not just lose weight, but to feel better and really be at your best health state.
For the people that are taking Ozempic and it works for them, the weight loss is coming off, do they have to stay on Ozempic forever, or is that just a way to like kickstart the weight loss journey?
I equate this to any other chronic medical condition. So similar to a medication that we're using for blood pressure or cholesterol, if I all of a sudden stop the medication, and maybe I have been doing some nutrition changes, behavioral changes, if I all of a sudden stop the medication, risk of the blood pressure going up, the cholesterol going up certainly is there. Similarly, if someone stops Ozempic or similar medication, then the weight can also come up, just like a chronic you know, any other chronic disease. That being said, I do find that patients that are working on some of the diet, working on some of the exercise, working on some of the nutrition, sometimes when they reach their goal weight, and maybe even lower, and we start weaning things, the ones that are working really close with the dietitian, closely on the behavioral changes, they do a little bit better when coming off of the medication compared to those that may be come off a bit abruptly for other reasons. But certainly comparing it to another medical condition, if patients that are on it for just diabetes, certainly stop it, their sugars are likely going to come up. If you're on a blood pressure medication, a similar thing can happen. So really comparing it to the other medical conditions, I think, helps. And I have patients certainly that come and say, well, if I start this, will I be on it forever? And I'll say, well, you know, again, comparing it to the chronic conditions, but also relaying that extra weight often has been there for often a long time, maybe months, years. And I'll say that kind of disease process, it needs to be treated in a longer term fashion. And so really connecting with patients and relaying that it really is truly a chronic medical condition that deserves the same chronic treatment that our other conditions do.
So I think it's important to understand that through multiple trials, specifically with Wegovy, which is a semaglutide, there was a step 5 trial that showed that when they actually took the patients off of the medication, while they continued with their diet and physical activity, they did regain about 7% of their weight back. And I think it's important for the listeners to understand that when it comes down to management of obesity, yes, we really do have to support the patient from a diet and physical activity standpoint, helping them modify their behavior. Why do we consider medication? Because we have to treat the abnormal physiology of the disease. When we treat that, we are far more successful in terms of achieving greater amount of weight loss. And when we stop the medication, those abnormal physiology, those pathways that are not working well, they're going to go right back to what they're doing and is more likely for the patient to regain the weight back. I do think it's something that is hard for the patients to come to terms with. And I completely agree that when patients come in, they say, what do you mean I have to take it for the rest of my life? But I think the data speaks pretty strongly. When you do stop the medication, and we do know patients can still continue to be engaged with their lifestyle modification, they are at a risk of regaining the portion of the weight back.
So, Dr. Soleimani, is there, now that there's a lot of people trying to use Ozempic, is there a shortage for the people who need it?
So 7 out of 10 Americans struggle with overweight and obesity. And let's just keep in mind that this is just not a problem that we have in the United States. Obesity is a problem globally as well. So both Novo Nordisk and Lilly really cannot produce this drug fast enough to meet the demand that it exists
Wow.
out there. So when you think about it, there are a lot of patients who really want to get on this medication. We know it has a lot of good outcome in terms of weight loss, improving blood pressure, diabetes, reducing waist circumference. And when they get that prescription finally from their doctor and go to the pharmacy, they are unable to fill it because the demand has been so high and the pharmacies just don't have enough to give out to the patient. I think one of the things that we've been seeing, which has been concerning for us, is there are a lot of the compound pharmacies or just the online weight loss entities offering compound forms of semaglutide and tirzepatide. And it's important for your listeners to know that these are not the actual drugs that is produced by Novo Nordisk and Lilly. It's not the actual drug of Wegovy, Ozempic, or Zepbound. It is not in this form of active ingredient. And most importantly, they have not been studied in terms of their safety and efficacy. And that is a reason why FDA has come out strongly saying that this should not be done. They do not recommend compound pharmacy. And if there's one recommendation that I would give, is for the patients to understand that we do have other drugs that we could put them on, that they are not in a shortage. Sure, there could be a patient that they are best fit to be put on Wegovy or Zepbound. Maybe we cannot get our hands on them at this time, but we can certainly consider the other medication that we have available, like Qsymia, like Contrave or Saxenda. Start them with something, get the process going, and as the shortage kind of eases up, transition them to one of those medication. But again, I do think it's important for everyone to understand that compound pharmacies and getting compound medication is not the safe way to do. I don't think patients would get their chemotherapy agents through something that is not well verified either when they have to go through their cancer treatment.
That's terrifying.
Yeah.
I can't believe that's happening.
Yeah, and I think the concern is that a lot of the patients are developing side effects with these compounds medication. And, it, you know, why put your health at risk where we could use other pathways? And yes, we can ultimately put you on one of these stronger medications.
Wow. Dr. Holsterman, barbaric surgery has emerged as the most effective treatment for adolescents with severe obesity. Could you comment on that? And Dr. Soleimani, you can too, if you would like.
Sure. So this is certainly a conversation that we have when patients first come to the clinic, when we're deciding on which treatment intervention is really best for them. We weigh the risk benefits of medications, and we certainly talk about bariatric surgery in some populations. So when we think about that, when we think about bariatric surgery, it really is the most durable and most effective long-term, not just for weight loss, but also for a lot of the comorbid conditions that come along with weight, like diabetes, hyperlipidemia, heart disease, cardiovascular disease, sleep apnea, et cetera. And I talk to patients, especially ones that have more of those conditions or ones that have higher BMIs. We talk to them about their goals. And sometimes it's, I just want to be healthier. Sometimes it's weight loss. Sometimes it's, I want to be on less medications. And so we discuss those, and we're talking about the weight loss medications in particular to start. We talk about a lot of the weight loss medications are associated with about a 5 to 15, maybe getting upwards of 20% weight loss. And when we do the math, when we talk about their current weight and where they'd like to be, we do the math and see if that medication or combination may get them to where they are. But many patients have higher goals. Many patients certainly want to get rid of their diabetes, want to get off of a lot of their medications. And of course, conventional non-surgical weight loss can help with that. Weight loss medications also can certainly help with that. But those that have the higher BMIs, especially those that have more of the weight-related medical conditions, are certainly for in a longer term period or longer term outcome, data so far and newly also tells us that they may be best served in that long-term outcome by a procedure like a bariatric surgery. And everyone's a little bit different, and so that's why it's really important to see your provider and see your medical team and determine, you know, really what the best case scenario is. But certainly those are things that we talk about, just like you would talk about interventions and plan of care for, again, other medical diseases, you know, diabetes, if you did have breast cancer, if you did have another, you know, ailment, certainly we talk about risks, benefits of all of them.
So I couldn't agree more that the decision of should I go with bariatric surgery or should I go with weight loss medication should be done with a physician that's qualified and does practice in the realm of obesity medicine and weight management. But I think there are a couple of things to keep in mind here. This is a very exciting time in a specialty of obesity medicine, what we are at. We've never had medications that can give us near bariatric surgery result, which allows the patients to not go through the invasive route of treating their disease and first really entertain the non-invasive routes. And perhaps maybe that is why Ozempic is all the rage here, because the significant amount of weight loss that a patient could achieve. But I do think it's important to understand that there's a population of our patients who have obtained bariatric surgery. And knowing obesity as a disease, that not only it's chronic, but it's also relapsing, post-bariatric surgery patients will experience at some point weight loss plateau, and at some point they will begin to struggle with weight regain. It's important for everyone who's listening that it's not the patient's fault, it's the nature of the disease, and these patients would need to be on medication and pharmacotherapy anyway. So I think that's important to understand, and I think But I think what the point that I really want to get across is that medications have its place for people who do or do not want to consider bariatric surgery.
Well, thank you two so much for being with us today. If you're just now listening, Dr. Soleimani, the Director of Obesity at Penn State Health, and Dr. Holsterman, the Physician of Clinical Nutrition at Geisinger Health. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Aisha.